It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
I apologize, I'm a little late. Had to take care of my appropriate duties so that anybody on YouTube can understand, as the Brewers play tonight, whether the dome is open or closed. That's all you have to do. Tell the world. 5 o'clock, YouTube, ESPN Home, or ESPN Milwaukee. You will find out if the dome is open or closed. Joining us now is 7:55, Jerry Augustine. I apologize. We should really do the intro, because the first thing I should say is the one fact everyone must have. The Miz is not pitching tonight. It's the most important thing you need to know about the Brewers. And if you're curious, the Miz will be pitching next on Monday against the Cardinals. I'm a little upset. 7:55, Jerry Augustine will explain this to me, why he would not pitch against the Dodgers. Now, I think he has enough days of rest, but they're using a five-man, whatever it is. But come on. The Miz should be pitching against the Dodgers, but he's not. He's pitching on Monday. But the key really isn't when he pitches next. The key is that you know that the Miz is not pitching. And, oh, yes, the Brewers are playing the Dodgers. Joining us now is Jerry Augustine, or 7:55, formerly known as Jerry Augustine. 7:55 because he was the winning pitcher when Hank Aaron hit his final home run, number 7:55. 7:55, good evening.
Great to be with you, Homer. The Brewers are playing great. This young pitching staff is just out of sight the way they're throwing
baseball. Excuse me, sir. You may be 7:55. No. You are 7:55, but you start with the Miz. You don't start with the Brewers. You start with the Miz. Okay. Any Miz update that you would like to give? I feel like I need to talk each week because I'm obsessed with the Miz and how fast, but you give the appropriate additional or more important information about how he's progressing as a pitcher. His last outing in six innings, he gave up 3 hits. Take it away, 7:55, with your Miz update.
He's becoming a pitcher, Homer. I'll tell you, the last game out, you go out. Each and every game he goes out, it's going to be a little bit different, but it's about becoming the best pitcher and doing what you got to do. And last game he went out, he started at 101, and it was right out at 100. But the rest of the game, he kind of went down a little bit. But he started using his secondary pitches. He's working on this, what the thing they're calling the cut slider. It's in between a cutter and a slider.
Let me back up here, because you have to know this is okay. Junior high level. We're not 7:55. All right, secondary pitches means what? You have a primary pitch, or do you have...
Yes, your primary pitch.
Your primary pitch, and his is the fastball at 103. I know they call it a four-seamer, two-seamer, X-seamers. I don't care. When it's 103, you know what we call it, 7:55, a fastball. All right, so that's his primary pitch, right?
It's primary pitching. Every pitcher pitches
they call
towards
it a
other
four
pitches.
Seamer, they, right? Is that what they call
yes.
it?
Yes. Well, he can throw the way he throws it. He can actually throw it above 100, either throwing a four seamer or a two seamer with some movement on it. And that's just his talent. He's got that much talent.
So that's his
as
primary
long as
pitch.
Gives you that. But that's his primary pitch, fastball. Right. But the other night, he kind of going into learning the game of pitching a little bit and using your secondary pitches.
All right, how many secondary pitches do you have? How many did you have?
Well, I had three. I used a curveball, slider, and I used a little bit of a changeup once in a while, or split finger every once in a while. So when you talk about the Miz, he's more of a guy that he was working on. He had a good curveball. He has a great curveball. He also has a changeup, but he started working on something that's a little bit easier to command and he can throw it with good velocity. It's in between a slider and a cutter, and that's what he's been using. And the other night, he was using it to perfection. He really threw it well. He was commanding it for strikes, and the game was really dealt with the way Miz pitched was being able to command the strike zone when he needed to with his fastball and using those secondary pitches very efficiently the other night.
I want to watch a game in which Miz pitches, and I want to be with you, and I want you to predict or suggest what he should throw each pitch. Would they ever put you on the bench and like you would be, can you have someone tell the pitcher what to throw? They have that thing in their hat now, right? Is that's what the catcher hits something and that gives the information to the pitcher, right?
Yeah, it's mainly Contreras, you know.
Right,
Sanchez,
but could somebody from the dugout do it, or does someone from the dugout could tell the catcher, and then the catcher would do the thing to the pitcher.
Well, there are a lot of times that they used to do, and they still do it in college level. You'll see they do it almost all the time. From the pitching coach will call pitches for the pitcher that goes. Now that they wear watches in college, and it tells you what pitch you got
to
throw.
But you don't do that they don't do that in the pros?
They pretty much leave it to the catcher. With Contreras as good as he is, and Sanchez also caused a really good game. They leave it that way. We used to at times every once in a while when a pitcher was going through something they were learning, you'd be in a game and a pitching coach would want a certain pitch. He'd relay a pitch that he wanted to the catcher, and that happened several times when I was pitching. I was maybe working on a breaking ball or a sinking fastball on the outside part of the plate or whatever it was, and he'd want to see what it would do to a certain hitter, so he'd relay that into the catcher, and the catcher would call it. Nowadays, that's all done electronically.
So can I go to Murph and say, Murph, I want you to hire 755, and I want him to call the pitches for the Miz to throw?
He said, we don't do that on the Brewer team. It's all done because Contreras does such a good job. The scouting, the way they go about it, the way they got things set up, him and Sanchez do such a great job that, you know, he would just say, I don't think we'd like to do that. Although, you could probably sit behind and you could go right along with them. There's certain times when they'll stay right in pretty much a certain sequence that they've been using in the game and certain hitters. You can kind of tell after the first time through the batting order, you could kind of sometimes tell with almost every pitcher what kind of sequence they're going to use as the game goes on and how they're going to use it. Oh, not all of the time, but every once in a while, because everybody has sequences they want to do to certain hitters, and everybody has a certain style of pitching that they have. Like, that's the difference, a difference between, the Miz and Harrison. They pitch a little bit differently. They throw all very good pitchers, but they throw differently. And the Miz is the kind of guy who can use all quadrants of the strike zone. He uses the east and west, and he goes north and south. But along with that, he's got those great secondary pitches. Like the last time out, I think it was in the fifth inning before he even used a changeup. He threw a changeup, he struck somebody out. So he's got that.
So now his secondary curve changeup. Well, I know Judge was talking about the slider was at 98 miles an hour, and he's like, I've never faced a slider that fast. But
yeah, that's that cut slider that he's been working on. It's a pitch that you can throw real hard and just breaks real sharp, and it's got a little bit of downward movement on it. It's really quick. Sometimes
because it looks like a fastball most of the way, correct?
Yes, it does.
So there's no way you can hit it. It's impossible.
Well, if it's located properly. If it's rotated properly,
but he's expecting a fastball to just go straight, and then he looks and thinks it's a fastball, but at the last minute it slides and moves down and away. It's not going to be a square hit anymore. Or what am I missing?
It's absolutely that's what he tries to do. And with the Miz, Homer, just to take you through on the educational part of it, he throws what they call a four seam fastball. His four seam fastball explodes up. It looks like it rises a little bit. He throws it so hard. That's why he's so successful at the top of the strike zone. He also throws a, what they call it.
Hold on, let me
fastball.
Ask a question. So he gives, okay. I'm hitting, and he's got the, I feel like it's a four-seam fastball. I'm expecting it to rise. So if it's, if I feel like it's waist, if it, you know, waist high, I know it's going to rise, or do I not know it's going to rise, or does it rise some of the times? So how do I hit his four-seam fastball when I know it's a four-seam fastball coming?
A lot of people don't. That's what's so good about it. The ball just takes off. The four-seam fastball is usually your best velocity pitch. Right. That's where he gets the 102 to 103s, and that's a good velocity pitch. It's a pitch that pitchers will use to locate where they want. If I want to locate the ball on the inside part of plate or the outside part of plate, they'll throw that four-seam fastball. If they throw a two-seam fastball, that's a ball to a right-hand hitter, sinks in on a right-hander away from a left-hander. It moves that way. That's called a two-seam fastball.
Oh, hold on. Like, that's a screwball. They can change whatever they name. It goes the opposite direction, right?
It does, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, this two-seam. What about that? Teach these people? Two-seam doesn't mean anything, all right? A slider is fast and down and away in the direction that you'd normally expect. A screwball is so weird and hard. I don't know. To me, if you have a screwball and a fastball, you're impossible to hit. The guy sees it coming, and he doesn't know which way it's going to break. That's not fair.
If it's located properly, it's very, very tough. But you know, when you Homer, when you throw these pitches and you throw the cut slider, it goes the opposite way.
Yes.
When you throw these pitches, it's all about where your hand formation is.
Right.
How you're releasing the ball.
I know,
where
but it's hard to do. I don't think of many pitchers that used to be able to throw a screwball. Or if they do now, it doesn't break that much, right? Old people would know Warren Spahn probably had the greatest screwball ever, right?
Him and Fernando Valenzuela.
Okay.
Yeah, they both threw it. And it's a great pitch. And and you see a lot of guys throwing what they saw. You'll see a ball pitch like a right-hander to a left-hand hitter. The ball fades away from them.
Yes.
That's not a screwball. It's a sinking fastball, two-seam sinking fastball. You get on top, and the ball releases off the middle finger, and it sinks away.
I apologize to people listening who get upset that I'm interrupting the pitching guy, Dr. Said 7:55. But look it. All right, you're a right-handed pitcher, and you're throwing to a right-handed hitter. The hitter's assuming the ball's going to go away from him because you're throwing right-handed. It's going to – a curveball will go down and away or down. Everything moves away, right? So on a screwball, well, I mean, it stays the same or it's supposed to go in that direction because it's thrown by the right arm. Now, on the screwball or whatever you call it now, he thinks it's going to go in that direction. And then, wait a minute, instead of going away from him, it goes into him.
Absolutely.
He's got no
chance. Great pitch.
If you have those two pitches, I don't know how anybody would get a hit.
That's right. And that's why you see some games, Homer, when they'll talk about fastballs. What kind of pitch did he throw today? He threw 70% fastballs.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't mean he threw all four-seam fastballs.
Right.
He might have thrown a two-seamer or a cut fastball or something like that. That's the way it looks because the movement.
All right. Can you do me a favor and call it a fastball and a screwball? And the reason why the screwball is such a great word for it is because it's goofy. It's screwy.
It is.
Okay?
It is.
I'm a left-handed hitter, and I'm facing you. You're tough because you're a lefty, and you're going to throw that ball down and away. Okay? And
Not all the time.
Well, okay. I mean, some will go straight to that. But anyway, and then you throw the pitch, and I think it's going to go down and away, and it goes down and into me, and I go, I give up.
That's it. That's it.
I don't know which way the way the ball is breaking, and it's not just straight or breaking down and away. It's straight down and away or into me.
That's right.
Oh.
And that's the sinking fastball, and that's what you get a lot of times when you get a left-hand pitcher to a right-hand hitter.
Yes.
Or right-hand pitcher to a left-hand hitter.
It's supposed to be great. That's why I want to be a left-handed hitter because I get right-handed pitchers, and all their pitches are going to tend to go in toward me, toward the cross. I mean, that's why you want to face somebody who's the opposite. But then if I see that coming from the right-hander, instead of going into me, it goes away from me. I quit.
You're out.
Yes.
No, but that's the game of baseball.
I know it is.
Everybody goes at it. You know, back a number of years, a lot of right-handers, they said, didn't throw that sinking fastball. But it's become a part of baseball. And most of your pitchers, almost, I would say 90% of your pitchers today also
have that.
Kind of
they have
that
somewhat of a screwball. But I want to tell you, I watch. Their screwball doesn't move as much in the opposite direction as some of the other ones. It might move a little, but who has
you're right.
But it's a it's they've changed the pitch. They call it a two-seam fastball. I don't give a damn how many seams you have. It's either going the right direction, as you would expect based on what arm the person's pitching, or it's going weird. I don't know how you can get a ball. Anybody can go out and play catch with their kid. If you're right-hander, your pitch is going to go from right to left.
Right. And you know what?
And if it goes the other direction, you feel like you're going to break your arm or break your wrist or whatever. I don't know how you teach that. But anyway.
Well, the two guys that you can watch with me in Milwaukee are two guys out of the bullpen. Abner Uribe throws a lot of sinking fastballs. The ball moves away from a left-hander or into a right-hander.
Yes.
Aaron Ashby will throw a fastball that will go into a left-hander away from a right-hander.
Yes.
Those are two guys that we see on more than –
Ashby
has
incredible movement on the ball.
Incredible.
I want to talk to him. Can you
equalizer.
Talk? Tiger with 755. I apologize if I've interrupted so much, but I really want to get everybody to go. Get rid of this two- and four-seam crap. You're throwing a fastball or you're throwing a
sinker.
Slider. I know you call it. The key isn't that it drops. The key is it goes the opposite direction. It's a screwball. That's the key, not that it drops. I can get a slider that drops, but that's going the direction I would assume with the arm the person's pitching.
That's right.
And
you're
this
absolutely
screwball
right. A right
is
goes
just.
Right, a left
no.
goes left, and a left
yes.
goes left.
Like, I think.
When you,
I want to tell Ashby, don't you ever throw a pitch that doesn't move. Everything you have moves. So
it does.
So move it. Just throw your fastball or your screwball.
But
and
now,
maybe you could throw a curveball if you want because it breaks. But I think his pitches move more than anybody else on the staff. Am I right or not?
But Aaron Ashby can also throw, Homer, Aaron Ashby can throw it, and Abner Uribe, because we're talking to guys out of bullpen that you see a lot, along with the Miz and Harrison and some of these other guys. They throw a four-seam fastball that is pretty straight. It's got a little pop to it. That's your best fastball. That's the
right.
That's the fastball that you can really locate. It does not have a lot of movement on it. And that's your
right.
That's your bread and
that's
butter pitch.
That's the fastball that
after.
Everybody's known for 100 years, back when you were a kid.
That's right.
Watching Bonanza.
Right.
Yes, then it was just a fastball. Some guys, oh, we got to call a four-seam. No, you don't. It's a fastball. Now, here's
right.
the question that is an addition. So we got fastballs, we got curveballs, and we got screwballs. And then you know because of the direction that it goes, or and a slider.
That's
Slider's
right.
a fastball that breaks at the end and makes it impossible. All right, the other question I had is, and this is maybe Maddox, and I thought Fidrich was the same way. Their basic fastball, forget the seams, basic fastball that has late movement. And I think that's impossible to hit because I'm not sure they know exactly how it's going to move. They just know that it moves later than most fastballs. All right, tell me if I'm wrong on that.
Yep, and 90% of the time, Homer, those are two-seam fastball where you put your fingers on the seams and the ball comes off the middle finger and the ball makes a movement.
Well, I just want to know you this. All the time that Maddox, no one ever said how many seams it was. They just said he had a fastball, and it didn't move like a screwball. It would just move, I say, in different directions, but it was never straight.
When
he wanted to? Really? So he threw some that didn't move at all.
Well, he decided when he wanted, whatever pitch you want to throw, you can actually throw fastballs that cut in or cut away. And it's just a matter of how you grip the ball. And your grip on the ball makes you do it. And you go totally on seams, you can throw the ball straight. You can throw on the seams with your middle finger and you cut the hand down.
Right.
The ball go into a lefty, into a righty.
Right. Well, no, see, into it. It either goes the correct direction or the screwball direction, the screwy direction.
That's right. You're totally right.
Screwy direction is when you see it, you go, wait a minute, that ball's not supposed to go that way. It's supposed to go the other direction based on if he threw it with his right hand or a left hand. And it goes anyway. So do me a favor if you can. Just leave the seams out. We got fastball, curve, changeup, screwball, and a slider. Right? Those are pretty much the pitches. How many seams they use, I don't give a damn.
As long as they throw them.
Well, no. But I think Ashby, to me, has the most movement of anybody on the staff. Am I right or
wrong? Great curveball.
Well, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what he's pitching. I just know every time the ball's thrown, it goes like, man, that went a lot this way or that way. It just breaks a lot. I think he's when he's on, he seems like almost unhittable. But then he'll throw a pitch, I guess it would have to be a changeup, that doesn't move, and they'll hit it. And I go, why would you ever throw that?
Sometimes you try to throw a changeup, and what
speed.
Happens with a changeup?
Yeah.
A changeup technically has to be a pitch that's down in the zone, down in knee high,
okay.
A little bit higher maybe. And every once in a while you get rid of that pitch and you release it wrong, and a ball stays up around belt high. Those are the balls that they'll get hit because they don't have a lot of movement. And
or
right down
or
the
a
plate.
Slider or a screwball that doesn't move or
right.
moves less than
that's
normal.
Right.
And that's just
right.
You're unlucky or I don't
it's
know.
Not
why
throwing properly, yes.
All right, now we get, and I apologize for interrupting, but this is, I mean, I'm obsessed with this. I don't want to ever hear about seams. No one cares how many seams on.
Okay, we're gonna define the pitches.
Yeah, based on the movement of the ball. If it's right, if it's just a fastball, basically it's speed more than anything else.
Absolutely.
If it's a slider, it goes the expected direction, but it's almost about the same speed as a fastball. If it's a screwball, it makes no sense. That's why we call it a screwball. And you watch it and go, how do you make a ball move that direction when you're throwing it? Ask 755, but that's a screwball. And then you have a changeup, which is much slower.
That's right.
That's it. I never mentioned seam once.
Nope. It's just how you grip the ball. Everyone
right, but no one cares. 755, I don't care how you throw how you grip the ball. I care what I see when you throw it.
That's right.
Right. And when my memory of you is, you had incredible control of getting the ball to go where you wanted it to end up in when the catcher had it. Like you could, whatever the pitch was, you could throw it and you could get him to catch it almost exactly where you wanted it. Yours,
that's right. The
your
on
key
the ball.
Was getting the ball to cross the plate exactly where you wanted it, understanding the weakness of the hitter. Am
absolutely.
I right?
Absolutely. That's
because
yep,
you really
exactly
didn't throw
right.
that hard. I mean, let's come on.
No, I was a low 90 guy.
But who cares?
But who cares? Love. But then when you throw this off speed stuff, you throw the sinking, the cutter, and all these pitches, and then you throw the four seam fastball. It looks like you're throwing in the mid 90s. So that's the difference. And being able to locate it is the big difference in the whole game. And speed has a lot to do with it, but locating is more important.
All right, I claim ball movement late is the most important thing. Not everybody can do it. You say location is.
I right. say location. Ball movement, you know, everybody's a little bit different. Sometimes the ball come on. But a lot of guys who have the really good pitches, the movement on the ball is usually late homer. No matter whether it's a cutter, slider,
right.
whatever it is.
And the batter pitch. Is confused because it's moving later than most people he faces.
That's right.
Which
and that's
makes
why you
it
see
really
so many
hard.
Funny swings in the game of baseball.
All right, now we get to the most important stuff. And I apologize, but I'm obsessed with never hearing seam ever again. All right, because it doesn't matter. I don't care. I mean, that's like telling me how you tie your shoes. Okay, we had the two-tie fastball. Well, yeah, I tie my shoes especially tight when I throw the fastball. Who cares? All right, I think the Brewers have a chance to win the World Series if their young pitching does this and they add a little bit. It's now 30-1. I want to put $10 down to win $300. Is it too soon? Because I understand it's a long shot, but if the young pitching is that good, I think they can add a little bit and they can take on anybody.
Well, I think they're trying to do it the best way they can, Homer. You got to remember that this is a long season, and yes. a lot of these pitchers have not had 30 starts in a year. They have not pitched on five straight starts in a row that are 5 days apart. And I think the biggest thing, I agree with you. I think this staff is the best staff in baseball. I don't care who they say. When you take the starting staff the way it is right now with these young guys in this bullpen, as good as it is, and they're getting some good guys back with Jerry Koenig back and Woody back, they're going to get even better. I think the way the organization is going to use this pitching staff is try to keep them healthy as much as they can. That's why you're seeing a Miz come get out of the game at 73 pitches the other night. Just give them that extra day, a little bit of rest, and so they can get to, when they get to September and October, they're sharp. This pitching staff, it could take them a long way, and they're also very good on defense. And the offense part is going to come. They're going to hit more home runs, but they're manufacturing runs. They're putting the ball in play. They run the bases better than anybody in baseball. They score more two-out runs than anybody in the game.
755, the two-out runs thing's going to even out. You can't do that for a whole season.
Well, they've been doing it so far.
I know,
they did it
but you told
year,
me
so.
It's a long season. Were they that good all year last year?
All yeah, right. they two out
Okay.
hits. They were pretty good. They got better as the season went along. But you, I agree with you. If you take this young pitching staff and it stays where it is right now, and they keep learning, keep each time they go out, understanding that it's an education that first year, learning how
So
to
you
pitch
have to
and
give them a lot of rest so that they're strong at the end of the year because there's a
absolutely.
limit to how many innings you can pitch them. And if they're in the
Absolutely.
playoffs, that's going to mean more innings.
Keep him stronger longer. That's the name of the game.
So I shouldn't be mad that he's not pitching Sunday. I should be happy because the
That's
more
right.
rest they give him, the better, because that means he can do more innings at the end of the year.
Absolutely. And the Brewers are 10 starters deep. You look at all they got, all the kids they
Right.
got. They're 10 starters deep, so why not take advantage of it while you can?
And I know this, so I'm not even gonna. I'm just saying, when you talk to me, can you leave out the seams? I know when you
I
talk
will.
to
No more
everybody. No,
seams.
I know when you talk to everybody else, you
Name of
will.
pitches, no more seams.
I think the more you can tell people about what used to be a screwball, I think the more. Because anytime a fan who doesn't know baseball watches it, it's hard to comprehend how somebody can make the ball move that direction,
Yep.
given the arm they're throwing with. All right. Sorry, I interrupt everybody, so don't feel too bad. 7:55. The update
Great.
on the Miz, always first. What's the most important thing to know about the Brewers tonight? Tell them, hey, what's the most important thing to know about the Brewers tonight?
Jacob Mizrowski is
not pitching.
Pitching.
And then we go from there. Thanks,
They got
Jerry.
a good. They got Ed Anderson
Oh,
pitching
he's
just as
good.
good,
They got
but.
a lot of other guys.
And the Miz is just throwing the ball very well, and the Brewers are playing well. Let's keep playing baseball.
That's right. Jerry Augustine, 7:55, formerly known as Jerry Augustine, because he was the winning pitcher when Hank Aaron hit his final home run of his career, 7:55. Please, when you see Jerry Augustine, say, 7:55. Thanks.
I love it, Homer. Oh, I love it, Homer. That's quite an honor to hit the be the pitcher that pitched
Right.
when Hank
And
hit
you
his
know
last
what?
home
You
run.
know what, 7:55? You can't make it up. You can't
No,
make
you
it up.
can't.
It'll be that way till the end of
Forever.
time.
That's
Jerry
right.
Augustine, 7:55. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
My new obsession that there never be any mention of how many seams a pitcher holds. Who cares? I assume I'm going to lose that one, but I don't care. Whenever or wherever you're listening, you know we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us, and we have the comments that come up. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. They don't put it in, but they should. And when the Brewers have an evening game, you go to YouTube to find out whether the dome is open or closed, which you can do tonight as well. I don't think I have to explain any more than that, unless you've never listened to the show before. My dome is either open or closed to tell you if the dome is open or closed. 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more. I want to talk with Tony Smith in a little bit about Wemby. My latest on Wemby, he can score 100 points in a game. No doubt in my mind. If at some point he wants to break Wilt's record, he can, because he can do what Wilt couldn't and didn't have a chance to, because he can make threes. So it'll be a regular season game, and I think he can do it when he wants. And the ability to shoot threes and make those shots, how do you stop him? You go out and get him on the three, then he just goes by you and dunk. Tune into the new season of Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker, HR and benefits consultant. Bucks versus the World, narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens, reveals the untold story of the 87 McDonald's Open, when the Bucks became the first NBA team to take on the best national team in the world, the Soviet Union. And in the next Rain Man, I will ask you to tell me how many points the U.S. led at some point in that game, and the answer is 48. Before the Dream Team, the long-forgotten tournament in Milwaukee globalized the game of basketball, opened the doors to international stars coming to the NBA, and they're way better now than they were then, and they were okay then. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast, Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. And yes, the update on the Brewers, the Miz is not pitching, and they do play at home tonight against the team that they'll have to beat to win the World Series. That's our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question as far as the Brewers in the World Series. The Brewers have 30-1 odds to win the World Series at Pato. How much would be smart to bet? 10, 100, or nothing? Unless you're rich, I'd say 10. I mean, 10, they get $300. What? 10? 10? Just put 10 down. You know, 100? 3,000. I'll admit, I don't know that I have the confidence to bet 100. But those are your choices, and you can bet. My partner at Marquette, Tony Smith. Does he think Wemby can score 100 in a game? And is he unstoppable? Is he a unicorn? And others, like Giannis. Any input on what Giannis is going to do? I've had breaking news for some time, and it's not changed. Giannis is either going to leave or he's going to stay. I got it nailed. Tony Smith next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
My thanks to 755. Joining me now is my partner from Marquette Basketball, Tony Smith, though that doesn't do justice to him. I don't know how to introduce him. There's got to be I don't know how many Hall of Fames he's in. Or I have to come up with a better introduction than just my partner on Marquette Basketball.
That sounds pretty good.
No, you got better than that. I'm not sure what it is. I might have to put it on how many Hall of Fames you're in. I don't know. I'll figure it out. All right, you ready to go? I want to talk to you about the NBA and the various things we've discussed in college basketball. I can solve flopping in this, and it's just you fall down. There's no foul going to be called. Just don't fall down.
You can't do that.
Why not?
That used to be the staple of the charge call. You have to go down to get the charge call.
Well, I know.
Now
but
you
that,
want to take
but,
it away?
Yes, because we have a problem that's bigger than that. Now, you can fall down, all right? But you risk understanding the falling down hurts you more than helps you. So it could still be called, but there has to be a penalty for falling down because, okay, am I right? This is insane.
They already have a flop rule
right.
violation.
But that hasn't worked. They haven't called it. People are still doing it. Would you agree the flop rule is at no
effect? That's on the ref.
I'm changing the rule to make it easier for
the refs. I know, but
here's
the problem. The problem right. that's going on is out on the perimeter, guys are flailing backwards like they got punched in the mouth when sometimes they don't even get contact made.
Yes.
I mean, that's the flail. The flail went out on the floor is the one.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That's a flail. What's a flop then?
Yeah, I mean, they're all the same thing. I'm just saying, like, when they're flailing backwards, yeah. it's all in the flop category. But I'm just saying, I'm calling it a flail.
I mean, I want to be a ref. I never want a ref because I want to make it clear. True's reffing, you don't want to fall down. I mean, you might get a call, but he emphasizes making a charge call without having the need to have someone fall down. You know what, lead with the elbow, you lean in too much with the shoulder, whatever. I'll defer to you on how you want it called. But you go down on the ground, not a good idea. I haven't sold you on that yet, have I?
No, not on the charge. On a block charge call, I don't know. Out on the perimeter, guys dribbling and pushing off.
I'll go with you on that. Yeah. You can go down on the block charge.
Go down on a block charge. Perimeter when if a guy like makes a little light contact and you're flying like you got hit by a Mack truck.
But if you know that if you go down it's not going to be called, that's going to make it so easy for the other person to score because you're down on the ground and they're gone. And all right, I'll add that. But hold on.
If you do that, you got to do it on offense because guys do the same thing. They're dribbling the ball and they get bumped. They're flailing back like
totally.
They got killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got to do it. All right. Both sides.
Yes.
Offense, defense.
And again, when the person goes down and gets no benefit, they're going to stop because now they've lost the ball or it's easy for the person to score. But
how are you going to stop the offense from flopping?
The same way. When they flop, then they don't get any benefit. Nothing's called. So then they just flopped and they're gone, the ball. I mean, there's no benefit if you don't get a call, right? You'll stop flopping.
I mean,
you're going to lose the ball, hopefully. Or right? You fall down. Like, you fall down, you miss the shot.
I don't think they call a lot of those. I don't know. I don't see the flopping being.
Okay, all right. So we...
It's annoying, but whatever.
So you will accept mine to the degree of The block charge, you're still going to have to accept going down. But everything else,
you got
to
go down.
The other stuff, it's going to cost you to go down. Like like on a shot. You know, you flail like you were hit. Well, there's no call going to be made. And so now you're on the ground, and unless it went in, they're going down the other way. And there's a loss by having nothing called when you flop or flail or whatever. The block charge. I'll watch it now with the Tony Smith edition. All right.
There you go.
Got it. Wemby. Explain Wemby. I think he's unlike any other player. He's Wilt Chamberlain, but Wilt could never dribble and shoot like that. And a unicorn, or do you view him as something you've never seen before, or is that going too far?
I mean, the dude he's something you've seen, but I don't think you've seen it as somebody this tall.
Okay, yeah. 7'5"?
I think Ralph Sampson was in that ballpark.
Oh, yes.
He could do a lot of that same stuff.
That's a great comparison.
And then, but I don't know if he had the ball handling skills that Wemby has in the half court, maybe not so much in the full court.
Why wasn't he better than he was in the pros?
He was good. What do you mean?
No,
he was in the Twin Towers.
Come on.
Well, he wasn't like Wemby good.
Right. So what's the biggest difference? Because it's a great comparison.
Because the biggest difference is the game was different. Remember, it was an inside game. You had to be if you're a big guy, you needed to post up, or else you weren't seen as that good.
So Wemby wouldn't have been good back then as he is now.
Back then, Wemby wouldn't be seen as good because he's not in the post. Well, but then again, he would have gone in the post if he grew up back then. So things would be different.
No, Ralph Sampson is a great comparison.
Yeah, Ralph was good. He could handle. He was agile. He could shoot it. Yeah.
But I don't know.
But that's not what they wanted out of bigs back then. Go get on the block, back to the basket, post moves, score. That's what they wanted out of bigs.
He is listed as 7'4".
Yeah, he's huge. Tall, skinny.
He could shoot the three.
He can shoot, yeah. He can shoot it.
Wow. He's only a 4-time All-Star. That's it. Come on. After 80s, he must have gotten hurt or something. He did nothing.
Yeah, yeah. He was hurt. But, I mean, he's also playing with the Dream, so. The Dream occupied the block. But he could block shots. Sampson was tough.
Wow. Man, I got to rethink because I thought Wemby was that freak. And no, he's... He's the current day Ralph Sampson. I mean, he does things, maybe some things a little bit better, but Sampson was like Wemby is in college.
Yeah, gotta go. Yeah, there's a lot of people you forget about. But
well,
again,
no, but I mean, in college, watching him was identical to watching Wemby in the pros now. That's how freakishly good Sampson was.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, I think he was college player of the year, maybe all 4 years.
I think he was, too.
Yeah.
He was at least 2, yeah.
7'4". All right, now we get to Giannis. Because I will tell you, I've had the breaking news from the beginning. He's either leaving or he's staying. I got that nailed. You can't do better than that.
That's the news?
That's my breaking news, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, that's good.
That is good.
Wow. That's very good.
Either
leaving or staying. Wow.
I would say he's leaving. Because I think this stuff about all the negative stuff about him is to help create the belief that the two sides want to separate.
But what negative stuff? Wait,
like that he was late.
You don't think they want to separate?
I don't know. All right, we'll deal with this. That he was 2.5 hours late and stuff like that. I don't believe that crap.
Yeah, I think Bobby Portis dispelled that rumor already.
Because there's no way anybody's going to put up with that.
Yeah, and Giannis ain't that kind of guy anyway.
Well, even if he was the kind of guy, you were on in the league, like you're leaving.
No one's that late.
Yes,
no
and late. They do it once, and everybody else is going to say something, right? I don't care if you're God.
Yeah, but Magic was never that late. Magic wasn't even late.
Right, or if there could be a situation where something came up and they knew he was going to be late and you waited, who knows, a family situation.
It might have been a family. Yeah, it might have been a situation that you're late. You're not just late habitually for no reason. No one does that. Every team that I've been on, the superstars with Barkley or Magic or whoever it was, like they know the general rule was like you just had to be on the bus before the coach was. That's it. Once coach gets on the bus, the doors are closing. We're leaving. Like he's generally the last one on.
And it doesn't matter who you are.
And it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably going to wait, but the general rule is like you should be there before.
They're
coach.
Not waiting. Most, they're not waiting an hour.
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're waiting
15
a half
minutes.
Hour. 15 minutes. Yes.
No, you're not waiting 15 minutes. You're out of there.
And now.
Everybody knows the rules.
Talking with Tony Smith. Have you come up with an opinion as to what you think is going to happen? Will Giannis play for the Brewers, the Bucks next year or not?
I would like to see him play for the Brewers.
Yeah, sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'd like to see him play for the Bucks.
That would be awesome.
In a different...
I would not. Okay. I think it's time to move on. I don't think, first of all, the Bucks don't have anything around him. That whole thing is gone. It's over. It was over a couple of years ago. You extended it too long. That's why you had the season you had now, and you're in the situation you're in now. Shit, you got to know when to hold them, when to fold them. It was time to fold a couple of years ago. You could have got a lot for Giannis then, and start to rebuild then with some young talent, some draft picks to combine. Would have been in a better situation. Looking up. Now your situation is looking down. You had a horrible season for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, the biggest one was that he's hurt.
Well, yeah, but you also got this cloud hanging over you of all the crap that's going on. Like, name some good players.
I still think Turner's good. I think who's the point guard? The young point guard, I think he's pretty good. Rollins?
Pretty good. Okay.
I'm not convinced.
That's all you got?
Well,
I mean, I'm talking about their roster. Can they compete for anything? No.
Yeah, they can compete for winning a playoff series.
They got to get in the playoffs first. They weren't even close.
They'll make the playoffs this year if he comes back.
Oh, they will?
Yes. He was hurt.
I don't think so.
You can't win with Giannis when he's hurt.
You cannot, but you can't win with the roster that they had either. It just wasn't good enough.
So you move him now.
Are you watching the playoffs now? You see the caliber of these
yes,
teams.
Yes, they're really good.
First round,
yes,
number 8 seed was no joke.
They have so many young players that I don't even know that well that are good.
Yeah,
and the teams are deep. Yeah, all right. So I'll give you that.
Deep.
Now my theory, talking with Tony Smith, and he's the voice of Marquette, but he needs a better introduction. I'll work on it. That I want Wemby to do really well because I think teams might be interested in Giannis because he could guard Wemby.
Can he, though?
I think you don't think he can? I think he can, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Giannis is Giannis a dig down and guard guy? I don't know.
Oh, he's got a point.
I mean, he's got size and strength. I mean, he could, you know, he's got enough size and enough strength where he could probably bother him on the block. I don't know what he's going to do on the perimeter. Wemby could just rise up and pretty much shoot over anybody.
All right.
I mean, he's huge. But bottom line is Bucks just need to let Giannis go. I already said it last year. Everybody got mad at me on social media. I go, just you got to break the team up. Let Giannis go. You got to get some because you don't have enough people around him to actually give him an opportunity.
See, and they
to win
say this draft is the deepest it's ever been. I think you want to get as many players in this year's draft. They say the top 30 is as good as it's been in 40 years.
Get some draft capital. Again, like, what are you trying to do? How quickly are you trying to be a factor?
I'm trying to get the best young players I can, and they're saying that's better in this draft than it's been in 40 years. So I want to get as many of them as I can.
But those are rookies, though. Don't forget.
Yeah, no, I'm going to suffer for the year, but they give me the most potential in a couple of years.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. What are you trying to be? You're trying to be something next year right away? Then you don't want necessarily rookies. You might want one,
yes.
But you want to trade him and get some established players, some young players who have actually proven something, have been role players, and we've seen a lot of those, like you said, in the playoffs. We've seen a lot of young role players who could potentially move up a tier or two and become even better role players.
And you could do that. You could do that. I'll accept that. You can do that. And then you can still maybe get a couple players from this draft, and they could be number 22 and 25, and they'll be way better than what you would get most years at 2022 or 25,
right.
given what they're
the guys,
telling me.
And then some of the Miles Turners, the Bobby Portises, then those guys will be even better with a roster like that.
Yes.
Like, those guys towing the big load, it's not going to get it done.
All right. And finally, with Tony Smith, who is going to win the NBA championship?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think OKC repeats.
Wow, still going with OKC. This would be a good time to bet them because they're probably odds
they're
aren't
too good,
as
man. They're too good, too deep. They're just
now they've got an injury issue though. I guess we'll have to check that out.
Yeah, they did hit a couple. Yeah, that hurts. I still like them though because they're deep.
Tony Smith says OKC. Thanks for coming on. I'll have
hey, you see the defense they're playing? Unbelievable.
Yes.
They're D'ing up like there's no tomorrow.
Kevin O'Neal would be impressed. You should call him and see if he's impressed.
I'm impressed. It's crazy.
It's more important. That's a good point. Thanks, Tony.
All right, Homer. See you guys.
My partner at Marquette Basketball, but he deserves much better in all kinds of Hall of Fames. And the first time I saw him in high school, if there had been a LeBron James, I would have said, that kid is LeBron James. He could do everything just like LeBron could in I guess still does. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I got nothing left other than that. What you need to know most above everything else, the Miz is not pitching tonight. Next.